One of the things that a number of people have said is our government or their government or someone's government should do this or that. I would like to throw out if governments have indeed the kind of power that we may be referencing. I'd like to go to the microphone here at the back.
Thank you very much. I think most people will readily agree that terrorism is a despicable act of desperation and demoralization. But what is the source of that desperation, if not the most horrible poverty and oppression, that provides a basis for terrorism to develop? Now, there are some statements made by panelists that I think beg question, if not challenge. Dr. Polanyi made a couple of statements, and perhaps he intended to be ironical, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, when he said that the U.S. has now joined in vigorous opposition to terrorism, and the U.S. begins a period of consultation now. Perhaps I got it wrong, my apologies in advance if so. But it seems to me any claims by U.S. politicians to vigorous opposition to terrorism have to be taken as bald-faced hypocrisy, if not an outright lie. When you consider the practice of the United States government and its military forces, with which many people around the world are familiar, 1 million Japanese, 4 million Koreans, 3 million Vietnamese, and thousands of Iraqis and Yugoslavians can attest to what occurs when the Oval Office prepares its bombers. So can the families of 2,000 Panamanians, 30,000 Nicaraguans, 75,000 Salvadorans, 150,000 Guatemalans, 300,000 Indonesians, and unnumbered victims of U.S.-sponsored terrorism in Palestine, Chile, Grenada, Cuba, and dozens of other countries. I hope you were being ironical. And with regard to a consultation, I think only if ultimatum is consultation can we interpret it that way, when the government says either you join our war or we will consider making war on you. This is hardly consultation.
Can we stop there and give you an opportunity to respond?
To characterize American civilization as being barbaric to the degree you do, I think is distorting the facts. And I think that the consultations that are taking place now, for example, in Washington over the last week, have been real consultations. The United States has, through this act, committed, you know, within its own heartland, realized that it is close to the rest of the world. It cannot wall itself off. And if it is to do anything about international terrorism, which I think in common parlance means non-state actors who group themselves to... I beg your pardon? To wield power by spreading terror. If they're to do anything about that, they have to do it cooperatively because they don't have the resources within the country to do anything. So these consultations, unlike those having to do with missile defenses, which were farcical, these are real consultations and must lead, if they are to lead anywhere meaningful, to real cooperation. So I see the United States as joining the rest of the world to an extent that it previously hasn't considered, and taking, actually being willing to make sacrifices, take risks, and accept restrictions on its own sovereignty, none of which I have seen much of in previous times. So I wasn't being ironic. I think a big change is occurring, and I think we'd be very foolish to ignore it.
Well, I think it's a shame that you weren't being ironical, and I guess the benefit should not have been extended. But I just want to conclude by saying that the danger we face, I think, is quite palpable and very concrete. A war without borders by the U.S. corporate military machine against its opponents everywhere. Under the cloak of anti-terrorism, the capitalist rulers in Washington, Ottawa, and London, and beyond are going to seek to intimidate and to crush advocates of social justice and workers' rights and environmental protection. And there's also a danger of an attack on our civil liberties. And I think the answer to this is simply to organize the largest, most massive, and most active anti-war movement that this country and this continent and this world has ever seen, that will also be a movement against racism.
One more round for Polanyi.
A round of what?
Audience first.
No, what I want to say was that, yes, states also have engaged massively in terror, and Nazi Germany was such a nation, and Soviet Union was another such a nation where terror was at all hands for decade after decade. And the marvelous change that has occurred is that nations that reign by terror are now fewer than they were in the past. And the number of democracies, of course, is far greater. And what now is happening is, if you like to put it that way, a privatization of terror. And I would like to understand its origins as much as you. I think that it does come from desperation. I think that's one of its roots. But these terrorists who acted recently were not uneducated, impoverished, hopeless people. They were people who had lived for years in Germany, in the United States, who could have chosen other professions, and out of extraordinary idealism were led into these horrible acts. And I wish I understood it better.
We're going to go to the microphone at the front here.